The question was, why do you look for the living among the dead? The early dawn, just when first light is beginning to permeate the black skies of night, filling the skies with muted colored hues, makes for beautiful photos. Some photographers call that particular time the golden hour, a time of mystical and serene atmospheric density filled with soft, even balanced light at dawn. Colors feel more vivid and warm, and the world feels strangely compelling. Photographs taken in that golden hour have a soft, captivating quality that can't be compared to the bright light of day, because the golden hour is the photographer's favorite time to create landscapes and portraits and silhouettes that capture the exquisite beauty and mystery and the quality of our world around us. The golden hour also offers spiritual meaning for many religions. Both Jews and Christians value the early dawn and its mist-filled, color-saturated skies as a wonderful time for meditation, a special connection with God, a time for peace and restoration and life and renewal. It tells us in the Psalm to be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes if you just take a little bit of time during your day and just stop and meditate, your life will be regenerated and life will feel that renewal spirit. So it's no wonder that the most important moment in history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the discovery of that empty tomb that early Sunday morning. That took place at that golden hour of morning, just after dawn, when the presence of God seemed to permeate the entire garden with hints of its awakening. Indeed, he is awake. He is risen. The scriptures tell us that a group of Jesus' female disciples, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women who were with them, all had gone to the tomb that morning, taking spices that they had prepared to honor his burial. Although Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had already covered Jesus' body in myrrh when they wrapped him and laid him in the tomb, the women wanted to honor him as well. The two Pharisees hadn't had much time to enact the burial ritual. The women wanted to complete it. In the Jewish tradition, anointing the body with fragrances and spice and oil was not a way just to prepare the Bible for decomposition, but to honor the dead. He was their beloved rabbi, preacher, pastor. They hoped that they could provide him with some dignity. They must have been wondering along the way how they would be able to enter the tomb, as they know they couldn't roll that big rock away, and they were convinced that the guards wasn't going to allow them anyhow, out of respect. Through all of this, the men sat back in the upper room in Jerusalem. That's where they went. Neither the men nor the women imagined for what Jesus had told them would really and truly be true. Was that really going to happen? Quietly, they just mourned the dead. Because the last 3 years had been a great ride being with Jesus, ministering all over Judea and to the ends of the earth. They didn't know really what they should do next, so they did what any friends and family would do. They mourned his death. They wept. And they followed in their Jewish tradition. Jesus was raised in the Jewish traditions. That was his faith. That's why he participated in all the Jewish feasts and festivals and all of that. But the women, when they reached the tomb, however, surprise, he's not there. The adjectives used in this passage are fantastic because first they found the stone was rolled away. Who did it? They must have wondered. Curiously, they went to the tomb. But Jesus was not there. Confused and perplexed, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes appeared and stood beside them in the tomb. John tells us that they were angels, and otherwise known as the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God. Luke tells us the women were terrified, and they immediately fell down to the ground. I think I would too. Then the angel spoke, and he said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the sinners and be crucified and then on the third day rise again?" Oh, they did remember those words. And after their experience with John elaborates even further, the women run back to the house where the men were sitting and moaning to tell them what they saw, but the men didn't believe them. How many times have women told men stuff and they, "Nah, I don't believe them old women." Peter, the head of the group, ran out of the tomb himself and he stooped and he looked in and he too saw the linen cloth laying where Jesus had laid. But Jesus was not there. Shocked and amazed, they went back to the house, confused about what had happened. They were shocked and confusion, disbelief, and all those emotions were just going every which way. And their first reaction to Jesus' resurrection, that nobody expected, even though he told them what was going to happen, despite anything that Jesus tried to tell them or teach them, they still didn't believe this. Now some might say, well, they were just dumbstruck, or like to think that maybe they were God-struck. In that golden hour of the day when the world emerges from the dark of night for yet another day, Jesus too had emerged. His life had just begun again in a brand new way. The phrase, the golden hour, isn't just confined to spirituality or photography. No, it's yet a third meaning. The medical field calls the golden hour that brief and transitory time in trauma care when patients linger between life and death and urgent medical care that can save a patient's life. A heart attack, a stroke, or aneurysm. Time is of the essence, and the patient must even pass briefly away only to be resurrected and recovered in the nick of time. I've known people that have had near-death experiences, and the stories they tell is just unbelievable. Maybe you have too, known people that have had near-death experience. But during this critical time, patients have reported their most interesting experiences, some unconscious, others what we call near-death experiences. The boundaries between death and life are mysterious to us. Each winter, we witness the death of leaves and foliage and disappearance of creatures and insects. And then as the cold sets in, and yet here we are in the spring and the world's awakened with new buds and new flowers and bees and colors. And we put all the flowers on the cross out there. Dead seeds burst into growing plants and hibernating animals come back into the light. Yet, we find it hard to believe in the resurrection at times, so hard to understand how the darkness of death can yield to new life. It's all around us. The creation, how God created the heavens and the earth, and more importantly, how he created us in his own image with all the intricate things that goes on in our bodies. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Although I do believe, because I'm living in one of them bodies he created. But in nature, almost every time that we call upon God, God lifts us anew into a promising place. Every time that we feel afraid and feel God's presence waning, a warming, calming comes over our veins. And every time we feel all hope is gone, and we are gifted a second chance. Every time we doubt and then experience the presence of Christ in our lives, our homes, our communities, our churches, our children, in our own spiritual and emotional resurrections. So we go back to the question, why do we look for the living among the dead when life is all around us? Jesus is all around us. When resurrection is more vivid and more real than anything else we know in this golden hour today, as in every day since the women entered that tomb, we have been made aware, whether in surprise or acknowledgement, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. Life is mysterious and life is beautiful. For Jesus and for all of us, He is risen. And He is risen indeed, and so are we. And my prayer for all of us during this resurrection season, that the risen Christ, this day, may dwell in you and among you, and may He be live with you for now and forevermore, that you too may experience the gift of life in the right here and the right now, and the promise of eternal life when it is our time to go on in this physical realm. Unless He comes for us first in the rapture, every one of us here are going to experience physical death. But if you have the blessed hope in your heart and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, the Scripture says you'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal damnation. He said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. There's many resting places, and He's preparing them for you. That's how we can hang on to the hope, because this old world will just beat us down as much as it can. But we have hope. In Jesus' name, happy Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah.